Forehead Kisses, written by Intangible, read by a literal garbage heap. Summary. Either pine more quietly or ask him, Andrew says abruptly, pushing off the wall and strolling across to survey the frankly obscene array of cut fruit Matt is laying out on a platter as they wait for Neil to join them for their weekly sparring practice. He's tired of watching this train wreck. It ceased to be interesting when he realized Boyd didn't have the guts to ever do anything about his Eiffel Tower-sized crush on Andrew's boyfriend, but was also in deep enough that he wasn't about to get over it in this lifetime without assistance. Or, Matt has what he thinks is the most ill-advised, unrequited crush on his two best friends in the history of ever. It's a good thing Andrew's used to dealing with idiots. Warm. That's Matt's first thought as he slowly winds his way back up to consciousness. He's delightfully and completely warm. He's also never been this comfortable. Hemmed in on either side by warm bodies and buried under a pile of the softest blankets. Heaven. If this is a dream, then I am not waking up yet, he thinks sleepily as he goes to inch down deeper into the covers. Still. Sleep. Matt freezes at the husky command, the words brushing against his skin as a face nuzzles deeper into his throat. It sounds like Andrew. Not the flat, toneless voice everyone else knows, but colored with the roughness of sleep and reproachful fondness known only to a privileged few. Matt cautiously cracks open one eye, and spying blonde and auburn hair, blinks until he's able to keep both eyes open. Resting on his chest just above the line of blankets are Neil and Andrew. Matt's heart stalls, barely daring to breathe lest he disturbs them when they look so peaceful. It's been 6 months, but he still can't believe that he's allowed to have this. Still wakes up and catches his breath with the knowledge that this hasn't all been just an elaborate dream. That he's been granted this much trust. That he's allowed to love Neil Jostin and Andrew Minyard, and that they care about him in return. Awake now, Matt allows his mind to drift back to the very beginning, to how it all began. That seemingly ordinary day in one of the basement rooms of the Fox Tower when everything changed. Either pine more quietly or ask him, Andrew says abruptly, pushing off the wall and strolling across to survey the frankly obscene array of cut fruit Matt is laying out on a platter as they wait for Neil to join them for their weekly sparring practice. He's tired of watching this train wreck. It ceased to be interesting when he realized Boyd didn't have the guts to ever do anything about his Eiffel Tower-sized crush on Andrew's boyfriend, but was also in deep enough that he wasn't about to get over it in this lifetime without assistance. Matt fumbles the strawberry slices he's holding in surprise, blushing furiously as he tries to figure out if he should be denying it or taking this once-in-a-blue-moon opportunity to speak to Andrew. He won't figure it out unless you use actual words to describe exactly what you want from or to do to him. He's completely oblivious to other people's attraction to him, but it's tiring for the rest of us to watch you unsubtly beg for his affection. I know he's yours, Matt says in a rush, holding his hands up placatingly. Anderson is quick to draw his knives or threaten Matt anymore. Not since they started boxing together after Renee's graduation, but that doesn't mean he isn't fiercely protective, especially of Neil. No, Andrew interrupts, sounding frustrated rather than angry. He's not anyone's to own, Boyd. If you can't... Hey, no, I get it, Matt says, trying to smooth over his mistake. All I'm saying is that you're committed to each other, and I respect that, and that he doesn't swing. Matt pauses, swallowing roughly against a tide of envy that swells in his gut. Except for you. But, Andrew says impatiently, Matt chokes on the words, hand rubbing the back of his neck and shoulders, curling up as he prepares for the rejection he knows is coming. But he forces himself to look up and meet Andrew's gaze. If I thought you were both willing to share, I'd want in on that. Explain. Andrew's expression hasn't changed, but there's a new tension in his posture, a wariness almost. But it's not an outright rejection or rage, which means maybe... Maybe this isn't going to end in him bleeding out from multiple stab wounds, and that's more than Matt dared to hope for at the start of this conversation. It's not just Neil, Matt says, almost defiantly. It's you too, Andrew. Because fuck if that wasn't the worst part about this mess. He had not one, but two unrequited and impossible crushes. Matt has always known his taste in people is questionable at best. That he's drawn to physical strength and confidence, and that someone being an asshole to him or being straight up dangerous doesn't stop him from finding them attractive. Because despite being over 6 feet and raised by a boxer, he doesn't actually want the tough protector role in his relationships. The fact Dan could and had cut him down to size when they first met had been part of the appeal. So yeah, he'd always known that, at least physically, he found Andrew hot. But it wasn't until after Baltimore, when he finally set aside so many of his fucked up assumptions and started really looking at the man rather than the attitude, finally saw just how much Andrew cares about the people he chooses to let in, that it got more complicated. Because he respected the kind of fierce love Andrew obviously felt, the kind that people lived and died for. He'd always craved the kind of devotion that could equal his own. It had been what had doomed his relationship with Dan from the start, because she would never give anyone else that much space and power in her world. She couldn't understand how it could be more important than her ambition, that he could be building a permanent nest, putting down roots, when she was already stretching her wings and trying to fly. She cared about him a lot, but he'd never be central to her world. He'd have had to hang on tight to her tail feathers to stop himself from getting left behind in the dirt when opportunity knocked. As it happened, they'd known, even before the fateful call offering her the coaching job she wanted, that they wouldn't make it, but familiarity and affection had kept them pretending until the last possible moment. And yet he looks at what Andrew and Neil have and sees everything he wants. A commitment that's more than just, while it's convenient, or, I love you enough for now, and more like, I'd burn the world to the ground for you, and we're in this together or not at all. After seeing his mom burned over and over again by people who couldn't see how amazing she was and walked away, he knew he needed more. That he wanted a real family. I'm into you both, Matt said again, stumbling over the words he'd never dared to say aloud for fear of not being able to look at either of them ever again. Not just separately, but the way you are together, the way you fit, it makes me wish there was a spot somewhere in the mix for me. Like, put me in the middle, or the edge, or wherever you thought I fit. He's watching close enough to see the hint of expression flash across Andrew's face that Matt's come to call surprise. It makes him brave. I want to spend afternoons tuning up the Moz with you, chasing down endless balls with him, plying you with ice cream and chocolate while he eats his weight in fresh fruit, and then just settle down in the middle of a pile of blankets with you both. They're all things you can already have. I bet Neil wouldn't even notice anything was different, Andrew says, like Matt hadn't just spilled out how much he longs to be a part of the relationship of the two most closed-off and violently protective people he's ever met. In fact, if you don't go back to kissing his forehead during your movie nights when you think he's asleep, I might be forced to tell Kevin how much you mock him during practice. Matt doesn't have a chance to process his shock or the fact that he's being teased by Andrew Minyard of all people before the other man is speaking again, and Matt has to hold down a gasp at how easily Andrew read his motives. Neil doesn't get why you think you can't do it now you're not with Dan anymore. The social rules of physical affection are still mostly a mystery to him, so he can't see why the meaning might change depending on whether you're single. He likes having that closeness with you without ever considering it might not be that simple for you. He doesn't realize that you're desperately clinging to the edges of what you hope can be passed off as friendly affection while craving more. Andrew's gaze is dark and hot as he sweeps it languidly up from the toes of Matt's Nikes to his lips, and Matt feels his body reacting. Feels the heat curling and his breath catching as he wonders what it would feel like for Andrew's hands or lips to follow the path of his eyes. The inarticulate sound he makes should be embarrassing, but he can't regret the reaction it provokes. So I'll ask you one last time, what do you want from us, Boyd? The predatory way Andrew stalks toward him as he speaks, driving Matt back until his hips hit the wall behind him, makes his knees threaten to give way. He's so distracted by the feel of Andrew's breath on his neck as he boxes him in that he almost misses the words that accompany it. He didn't understand what I meant until I told him I wanted to blow him. Matt's knees give out as Andrew steps back, Matt's cheeks flushing as his mind supplies images to match Andrew's words. He slides down the wall into an undignified heap at Andrew's feet. More turned on than he's been in years, and nobody's even touched him yet. Of course, that's the moment Neil chooses to arrive, full of energy and running a hand through his ridiculously attractive curls. Coming to stand at Andrew's side, looking down at Matt, and then back at Andrew. Why is Matt sitting on the floor? Did you guys start without me? The choked sound Matt makes is not quite a groan as he buries his burning face in his knees. He knows Neil wasn't trying to imply anything, that he wouldn't, and that just because Andrew seems like he might be on board with this, at least enough to tease Matt, doesn't mean he should start assuming he can have what he so desperately wants. And God, does he want, with Neil standing above him in his tiny little shorts, and Andrew practically smirking at him. If this whole situation wasn't so humiliating, and he wasn't waiting to be rejected, he'd assume this was another one of his fantasies. Junkie, I don't think Matt's heard your rant about society and polyamory yet. You should tell him, Andrew says flatly, before walking off to examine the rest of the food, and Matt definitely wants to die. But he guesses this is what you get when you're in love with assholes. They behave like assholes. Matt lifts his head, ready to protest that he doesn't really need his heart broken by Neil's obliviousness, when he hears the most unexpected thing. Of course, people can be in love with more than one person, Neil says, with the same heated tone he uses for Exy. I can platonically love more than one person, so suggesting I couldn't also romantically love more than one is stupid. Given the way attraction works for everyone else, it's obvious that it can and does happen. The only reason society buys into shaming polyamory is because it views relationships as a way to hoard, or arrange the transfer of power and money. It's part of why Mom ran from the Hatfords. Her parents were planning to marry her off to build an alliance with some other rich family. They did that with every child who wasn't a first son. Those were saved either to head branches, because in the traditional families they still inherit all the massive estates that make up over half of Britain. Not that she did such a good job of choosing her husband on her own, but the point is, if you don't view people as property... Matt tries to stay focused on that particular line of reasoning, but he's much more interested in specifics of Neil's potential for loving people other than Andrew. Namely, whether he, Matthew Donovan Boyd, has even the slimmest hope of ever being one of those people. Neil continues, warming to his theme, oblivious to Matt's desires. If you actually trust your partner and treat the bond you have with them with respect it deserves, then jealousy becomes redundant. Just because someone wants something doesn't mean they become some mindless being who can't think before they act, can't respect their partner enough to express that, and make a rational choice about it. The idea that someone is irresistible is just one more part of rape culture that aloes need to burn out of their memories and replace with actual consent. Aloes? Matt asks faintly, his head still spinning with relief that Neil hadn't ripped his heart out. At least not yet. There's still time. In fact, any second now. Allosexuals? Neil pauses, looking uncertain for the first time, when Matt shakes his head, still not recognizing the word. You know I'm demisexual, right? As in you don't swing? Matt clarifies. Didn't know the proper name for it, but yeah. You don't feel anything for anyone except Andrew. I get it. And there it was. The fact he's been trying so damn hard to respect, but can't seem to get his heart to realize it's doomed to be broken. He ducks his head, hoping to hide the envy that surely must be written plainly across every line of his face. That's an incorrect answer, Boyd. Andrew's tone is mocking, as he appears at Neil's side, hand curling comfortingly around the back of his neck. Matt's head snaps up. Huh? Demisexuality is on the asexual spectrum, but instead of never experiencing sexual attraction, I do, or I can, if I already have an emotional bond with them. But it's not a possibility with strangers. I can't even imagine wanting to have sex with someone I don't know. I've tried kissing strangers, and it's... Neil makes a face, unable to articulate how or why it is so different to kissing Andrew, except that it was bad enough that he'd never voluntarily do it again. Bad. Imagine kissing someone you find repulsive, even if other people think they're attractive. Like Rico, Andrew suggests, watching as Matt's face twists into horror and disgust. Neil shrugs. For me, it's usually more apathy than repulsion, but it's not a bad example. So, with people who aren't strangers, Matt prompts, because he's still confused as to how this isn't a description of Neil not swinging for anyone except Andrew. Attraction isn't something I ever think about, which is why I miss most of the cues when people I don't know well are trying to flirt with me. Neil sighs. This is the bit he always has difficulty articulating. But that doesn't mean I can't develop romantic or sexual attraction, especially with someone I was already close to, but assuming it's the same as with Andrew, I probably wouldn't figure it out until they mentioned it, or until I stopped and deliberately thought about that person in that way. It kind of catches me by surprise. Idiot. Neil shrugs. You like it. Aren't you curious as to why Matthew's knees failed and he ended up on the floor? Andrew counters, enjoying the shiver that rips through Matt at the sound of his name from Andrew's lips. I think he should explain. And there it is. The moment he's been building towards. The one where Matt rips out his own heart and hands it over to be crushed. Is this about the forehead kisses thing again? Neil asked. He doesn't have anything to explain. Just because some people might read it as being an exclusively romantic or sexual thing doesn't mean it is. Matt's my best friend, and it's nice. Platonic kisses aren't a big deal. He should just keep doing it, and if the freshmen or anyone else have a problem with it, I'll deal with them. What if it is? Matt asked quietly. What if I stopped because I realized it felt like they meant more than they should? That I felt more for you than I should, given you're in a relationship already and you don't swing? I swear, I respect both of those things. I'm not... Just because I'm attracted to you and Andrew doesn't need to change our friendship. I just didn't feel like I could keep kissing you without telling you it had stopped being completely platonic for me. That felt like lying, or doing something that you hadn't consented to. You're attracted to... both of us? Neil asked, sounding astonished but not angry. Yes, Matt admitted, dropping his gaze as Andrew leans in as if to whisper in Neil's ear, unable to hide his envy at the easy intimacy between them, Andrew's lips brushing Neil's ear. Andrew, however, doesn't bother to lower his voice when he speaks, looking Matt dead in the eyes as he does. His knees failed when I told him that I'd admitted to being attracted to you by saying I wanted to blow you. I guess he liked that idea as much as you do. It doesn't, Matt protested. It doesn't have to be sexual. Forehead kisses would be more than enough. I want to be part of your lives. What do you think, Junkie? Is he still on the list? List? Matt asks, frowning. You don't think he came up with that position on polyamory without me finding out just who he might think he could be attracted to if he thought about it, do you, Matthew? And you? Matt counters, not wanting to push Neil. Oh, I've always seen the appeal, and the fact you're completely besotted with him only adds to it, Andrew said, stepping out from behind Neil to stand in front of Matt. On your knees, Matthew, if you want me to kiss you. Maybe he should have been embarrassed how quickly he scrambled to get his knees under him, bringing his lips level with Andrew's and sticking his hands behind him. You can touch me anywhere, Matt breathed, answering the question he anticipated. So desperate, Andrew said softly, his breath brushing against Matt's lips, teasing before finally swooping in and closing the distance. The kiss was intense, Andrew's long, talented fingers gripping Matt's jaw and threading through his hair, angling his head to deepen the kiss. Matt's head spun as Andrew licked into his mouth, his teeth scraping his lip with perfect pressure as he teased and rewarded. It was so much more than he'd imagined, all-consuming, and yet, somehow more considerate than he'd expected, as though he already knew exactly where to touch to drive Matt wild, and was determined to demonstrate it. Andrew pulled away slowly, that talented tongue slipping out and brushing against his lips as he pulled away, as if to savor the taste. Matt moaned, arching his neck, begging for more as he felt Andrew pull away. Blinking open eyes he didn't remember closing, Matt looked up to see Andrew's mouth at Neil's ear, his lips quirking in what almost looked like the beginning of a smug smile, and then it was Neil's turn to step forward. Don't use your tongue, Andrew advised, his voice huskier than Matt was used to. It's the most likely to trigger his ick factor. Yes or no, Matt? Neil asked, looking more curious than anything else. Yes. He's expecting a tentative kiss, something chaste and searching, especially after Andrew's warning, so he's completely unprepared for Neil to kiss him like he's drowning in Matt's oxygen. He shivers as he feels a calloused thumb brushing back and forth over his hammering pulse, as Neil's lips threaten to steal his sanity. He's gasping by the time Neil pulls back, humming slightly, and it's hard to focus when he hears Andrew offering soft suggestions. The feel of Neil's lips on the sensitive skin of his neck sends shivers racking through him, his fingers clawing at the wall behind him as he tries not to collapse. And then Andrew's there. Matthew, tell me no. Yes, Andrew, Matt gasps as Neil's teeth scrape the joint between his neck and shoulder, and then Andrew's leaning in. One hand threaded through Neil's curls, and the other bracing Matt's jaw as he claims Matt's lips. It's bliss and torture, and Matt never wants it to end. The end. Thanks for listening.